Palm Sunday, the Gospel reading is Matthew 21. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them.' He will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, Lord, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread the cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The prayer of the day. Everlasting God, in your endless love for the human race, you sent your Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In 2019, I came home one evening, and there I was met with a surprise birthday party. I was taken aback, but yet enjoyed the laughter and the smiles and the singing of happy birthday. But after just a minute had gone by, everybody started to leave, going out the door. I was puzzled by this and asked, "Well, what's going on? What's happening?" And they said, "Oh, well, remember, this is your 62nd birthday." So sometimes celebrations aren't exactly what you'd expect. It is a time for the Passover celebration. During those days, it was estimated that 2.5 million people would come to Jerusalem for the greatest of the festivals. They not only looked back to Egypt, slavery, and God bringing salvation and freedom to his people, but they looked forward with a hope of God acting once again, once more, bringing freedom. Jesus rides in on a donkey, one never ridden, therefore suitable for sacred purposes. He is carried and received like a king. He hears the hymns and chants reserved for a son of David, a descendant of the royal family. Branches are waved and strewn before him, holding even more royal implications. The scene we read about reflects a time many generations earlier. Long after Jerusalem had been besieged and captured. A time when the temple had been desecrated. There came a time of liberation. And the arrival of the victors echoed the same rejoicing of the people. The temple was to be rededicated and to be restored. The same temple that now Jesus comes to confront and to replace. The people in their desperation, in their distress, once again cry out, "Hosanna, save us now." But the entry of Jesus is not to be followed by what the people expected. It is not what they were celebrating. Jesus did not come to be enthroned like David. Jesus came with the understanding that he would be killed. The people wanted rescue from oppression once again. They would receive rescue from the depths of their sin. Jesus would become the sacrificial lamb. His blood would be spilled. The good news of forgiveness and renewal would no longer be found in the sacrifices at the temple, but the sacrifice of Jesus. And to him, the people would come to worship and to praise God. Just before arriving in Jerusalem, there's a prelude to the events of Palm Sunday. Jesus had taken the disciples aside in Jericho, and he told them what was to take place, what would happen in the coming days, in the week ahead. Then Jesus was approached about positions and places of honor in the coming kingdom. But such a mindset, this understanding, came from the disciples thinking of a kingdom, but not Jesus' kingdom. So Jesus asks them a question. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? This is a reference to the prophets of old, where they spoke of the cup of Yahweh's wrath, the cup of punishment. Because of God's anger against the people, they would be forced to drink the dregs from the cup. It would be bitter and it would be foul. The taste would be imposed upon them. But Jesus is the one who will take the cup and drink of it himself. The bitter and the foul taste. He tells the disciples that he, Jesus, would be a ransom for many. He would set free those who could not free themselves. For all people who are enslaved to sin. He would pay the price for their freedom. There is an awakening. One late night in a hotel, the man phones the reception desk from his room. He says, I'm in room 226. I would like a wake-up call, please. The young receptionist says, yes, I can do that. You are in your 30s. You live in the basement of your parents, which is littered with pizza boxes. You've achieved nothing in your life. Some wake-up call. But this is an awakening, where the words and events are interwoven and expressed in dramatic fashion. They are to awake the people, to make them active, to make them alive. And so as we reflect on the events of Palm Sunday, we too are awakened that our cries of Hosanna have been answered.